Good. So last week we began the topic of Amir Lenachri. And we began the topic, we explained the source of Amir Lenachri, that Chazal made, said something that if we ask a goy to do malacha for us, then it's aser. What does it mean it's aser? So it's aser to ask the goy to do malacha. It's aser then to have a goy do malacha for us, which means that we have to stop the goy from doing the malacha, at least protest, and then it is aser to benefit from the malacha. So halacha lamasa, that means that in addition to not commissioning a goy to do malacha, said even if the goy is not commissioned but he does it for us, we have to be mocha, and then we cannot be nena from malacha that was done for us. So if a goy does a malacha for a Jew, we have to delay any benefit from that malacha till b'chdei sheyasu, till the time it would take us to do it after Shabbos, and then once that time elapses, so then we don't have any hanochah from that malacha. Well, why did Chazal make this din? So the Rambam says because Chazal wanted to make sure that we would not ourselves end up doing the malacha that we commissioned the goy to do. Rashi says that the Iser of Amir Lenachri is because of Dabar Dovar, and Rashi says the Iser is because of Shlichus. So we explained that those are two distinct ideas, that and both are accurate, meaning that on Shabbos we cannot commission Malacha, even if it will be done after Shabbos, because of Dabar Dovar. And on Friday we cannot commission Malacha to be done on Shabbos because it's a form of Shlichus. How real is that Shlichus? So that's a machlokas amongst the Achronim. Is it a real form of shlichus? And as the Beis Meir explains, that this is one of the situations where we say, yesh shlichus anochri lasos bidvar aveira, that to do an aveira, just like you have a similar idea in Ribis, that Chazal said there is a concept of shlichus because of the Iser Chomer of Ribis. They said the same thing in Shabbos. That's one interpretation, that it is a real form of shlichus. The other interpretation that we have is that Chazal expanded the notions of shlichus, and they said that on Shabbos, commissioning a goy to do work will be viewed as a form of agency, a form of shlichus, and therefore will become osur. And then we went on to discuss the way that the Shulchan Aruch begins Hilchos Shabbos, to discuss that as a result of the Iser of Amir Lenachri, so therefore one has to be very careful about what one's doing Erev Shabbos, to make sure that over the course of one's Erev Shabbos, one is not asking going to do Malacha. So for example, we didn't discuss this last week, but let's say can a Jew give a non-Jew work to do? He has a suit to be fixed. He has a car to be fixed. So halacha is that a Jew cannot ask a non-Jew to fix his car on Shabbos, can't ask a non-Jew to fix his suit on Shabbos, because that would be Amir Lenachri, right? He'd have to. However, we pointed out that the one caveat to Amir Lenachri, there's several caveats, but the most potent caveat of Amir Lenachri is Adaita Lenavshoi. How do we know that? Because in Kumcham Beis, when there was a fire in the home of Yosef ben Simoi, so the Yosef ben Simoi said, whoever will help out won't lose. I'm not telling you what to do, but if you'll be Machal Shabbos and put the fire out, you won't lose. Chazal later on criticized him that he was overly machmir, but that we see that he wanted to keep the din of Amir Lenachri, and if he made it that the goy is doing the malacha for himself, not because the Jew commissioned the work to be done, adaita dinafshoi, so then that is not a violation, obviously, of Amir Lenachri. I didn't tell him to do it. He did it because he decided to do it, and there would be no Isra no as well. So that, how does that translate halacha l'masa? If I give my car to the guy on Wednesday, and the guy says I can't have it till Sunday till Matzoi Shabbos, because I'm backlogged. So then I can still leave it for the guy. Why is that? Because he can do it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He decides to do Shabbos. He decides he's done it. He wants to. He's a tzaddik. He wants to do every person's work in the order which they received. But he could rearrange things. There's no obligation for him to do. If it's nice, it's proper, it's American, it's b'chavanik, to take things the way you got it. But he could decide to do. He could decide to stay up Thursday night and work a little bit, hustle a little more, get it done. He decides to do it on Shabbos. So that's a diet enough. So he made that decision. So if I bring my car in on a Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, and I say to him, I need to have him until Shabbos and get out of town, that is Amir Lachmas, awesome. Because I'm telling him to do on Shabbos. If I give it to him on Thursday, and he says, this car is a 48-hour job, that's Amir Liakum. That's awesome. But if I give the car to him in good enough time, or I tell him I don't need until Monday, and he says, Rabbi, I'm ready for you, Matzoi Shabbos, after Shabbos. I said, I don't need until Monday, he says. So then, that is a Daitan of Shoy. He's doing it for himself. If I send a piece of mail on Thursday, and it gets delivered in Shabbos, it's a Daitan of Shoy. If I send one day mail on Friday afternoon, so then that could be an Amir Lenochri, right? Because I'm commissioning him to deliver within one day. If he doesn't deliver within one day, he hasn't kept his deal. So that's a little bit tougher. I have to figure it out. Could he get it to the destination before Shabbos? If he could get it before Shabbos, but he decides that he has a protocol he wants to do it in a certain way, then that would be probably mutter. But if I'm sending it to Florida, and there's no way to get it to Florida before Shabbos, so that's a problem. I'm commissioning melacha to be done on Shabbos, right? Now in all these cases, and that's not a daitan of shoy, it's because I asked him to do it. Now if I give the carbon to be done erev Shabbos, and he's doing it on his own plant, so then I think even if it's a very visible car, right? The guy's license plate is Rabbi number one, right? Rabbi, so it's very clearly it's a Jewish car, right? So then I think it's mutter. Why is it mutter? Because he's doing it on his own plant. If these things are always done big kablonos, they're not done b'schir yom, right? The guy is being hired for the job. There's no maris ayin over here because that's the way it's always done. It's done per job. There's no maris ayin that is done any other kind of contract. And I don't think people would assume that you davka has to be done on Shabbos. So since all those things line up, therefore that would be an adaitin of shoy. Without any maris ayin issue. Go ahead.
I think you touched on Rebbe on what I was going to ask. I wasn't sure. All of these cases of adaita nafshoy presume suffix as well as to whether he is or is not able to do it on Shabbos or will not. So if you happen to ask when specifically, by the way, will you do it, and he mentioned Shabbos, is that still a daitan nafshoy, or do you have to have a macha, and then it becomes problematic?
I think it's still a daitan nafshoy, as long as I think it pays to say, you know, let's say he says, I say I need it by Monday, and he says I'll have it for you Mitzvah Shabbos. So I would say again, fine, but I only need it by Monday. That's still a daitan nafshoy, right? And he says, where do you want me to put the keys so you get Mitzvah Shabbos? So I'd say, you know, I don't need it on Monday, but I can still find out where the keys are, because then he did it that in Avshoy. Right? I think that's correct.
With the mailing something out of Shabbos, the fact that in the mailbox there may be another 50 pieces of it,
yeah,
still taking it, maybe going to a neighborhood, and
They may not end up being any malachim.
There's a whole bunch of other pieces there, and he's doing it anyways.
That probably is correct. Yeah, but when you take your one piece and you go to the post office and you I think you file in this, I want this piece delivered. So I don't know if that piece gets delivered by itself. I'm not sure.
At some point, it does.
Right. So that, at that point,
it's his own.
There might be some locha that's being commissioned. Might be. Right. Again, maybe it's. Let's look at it more carefully. I think so. Good. However, the Shulchan Aruch opens up by saying that all of this is different when it comes to mechuber, when it comes to construction sites, when it comes to your house. So then Chazal said, in that case, we are concerned for Maris Ayin of Kablanos, which means the following: that Maris Ayin of Schirio, that clearly if I hire a person to work in Shabbos, that is the Iser. That's a Mila Akum. If I hire a goy to work and I ask him only for, I make him a partner, so to speak, that's called Arisos. In other words, he gets a part of the profit. So therefore, he's working that enough Shoy. He himself wants to work in Shabbos. Not because if I commission him, I say, I'm going to pay you per hour, every hour that you're in, he's working for me. But if I say to him that I want you to, that if you work, you'll get a third of the profit, that's enough Shoy. He's working for himself. So the Gemara says, and if he works and I pay him for the job, that's kamblonus, and as long as I don't demand it be done in Shabbos, that should also be mutter. So the only thing which should be also mitzadadin is if I hire a person to work per hour on Shabbos. If I tell the plumber I need you on Shabbos, and the plumber then charges me per hour. So that would be schir yom, and that would be mir ledachri. However, Chazal said that when it comes to your car and your metaltalin, so then if it's kamblonos and you don't insist it be done on Shabbos, that is a daita nafshoi. When it comes to your home, mechuber, your building, a construction site, any of these situations, so then your lawn, so then Chazal said that we have to be more machmir, and one cannot even have a goy work be kamblonos over the course of Shabbos, because we have to be concerned that people will think he's working kischir yom. So if it's a situation which ever since Sinai was done become arisus or become lonos, then there's no maris ayin problem. But since construction, it's at one point in all lawn working at one point was done as a schir yom. So Chazal said that it cannot be done big kablonos. So therefore, we still say that all forms of construction mchumar can't be done even big kablonos because of a maris ayin of schir yom. We pointed out last week that is a machlokes neid Yehuda Ramah. If the industry overwhelmingly changed and there was no more schir yom at all, do we still have the din? And Ramah says, yes, we still have the din. And then we pointed out that I don't think it's overwhelmingly changed, that there still is Chir Yom going on within the, on the level of, there are still times when people do commission work to be done on Shabbos, even if it's being paid in the Kablonos form. There are still times when one wants to line up certain parts of the construction site, and you want it done on Shabbos. So there still will be a Maris Ayin that maybe this commission on Shabbos, and therefore one cannot have one's construction sites active, one cannot have ask Goyim to do work for oneself on Shabbos. One has to not only not commission it, one has to decommission it. One has to be Mocha. One has to say that you cannot work on Shabbos. Even though you may be doing Adat and Avshoi, you still can't do it on Shabbos because of Maris Ayin. Then we'll discuss, are there exceptions to that rule? So there are exceptions to that rule in certain situations where we will be mako on this Easter of Maris Ayin. So that brings us to an important Inyan Halacha L'Maaseh. What about the din of owning shares in a company which is working in Shabbos. So that can be skipped one step. And then we reviewed the halachas of Americhatz. Americhatz is where I own a business. And can I run my business Shabbos? Absolutely not. Because if I run my business Shabbos, that means I have goyim doing malacha for me. That means I'm earning money in Shabbos. So I have two problems. Number one, I have the problem of Amir Lenachri. And the other is the problem of Schar Shabbos. Can I run my business from the very beginning in a kamlonos arisus fashion, where I run the business and I tell all my workers, like I said, Starbucks, and each become stakeholders, and they each get a part of the profit, and I tell them that I don't want them to work on Shabbos, I don't ask them to work on Shabbos, but if they want to work on Shabbos, that's enough shoy. So they're working because they get a share of the profit. So of course they want to come in on Shabbos. So then the halach is that if this is a type of business which is done normally via kablonus, via resource, if it's normally done that the goy doesn't work per hour, but the goy works and he gets a share of the profit, he works per job, so then the halach is that I would be allowed to keep that business open in Shabbos, as long as, again, this is overwhelmingly done, this business is run in that fashion. Can I keep my store open in Shabbos? No, because my store is usually run b'shichiyon. My store looks like I pay people per hour. I don't pay the guys who run the store per job. Right? So then I can't say that this particular Shabbos, they're going to be running it become lonas. Because of the Maris Ayin, the people don't know that. People think that every store runs is Kischer Yom. Right? Can I have salesmen work for me? That could be different. Because salesmen in many, many industries do not work on a Kablonus Kischer Yom. Depends on the industry. But many, many industries, the salesmen work and they work totally on commission or significantly on commission. So in that kind of an industry where the salesmen work on commission and everybody knows that's how salesmen work, so then I would not have to, I couldn't commission the salesman, I couldn't say I wanted to go to this trade show, I couldn't say to the guy, you know, Shabbos morning is a great morning to be in the mall and sell my product. That's Amir Lenachri. But if I have a salesman and I hire him and I say, we have an understanding. Whatever sales you bring in, you get a certain commission. So then I would have to tell them, you can't, on Shabbos, you can't have a big sign, you know, Neuberger's gimmicks, and Neuberger's a Jewish name, right? You can't have a Goldsmith, you can't, I have to make sure that my name is not a, it's not Nikon with the Jewish company. I have to use some kind of, I don't know, all-American name. Right? So that is an all-American name, and it has to be known that this all-American name is not a Jewish company. It's known as a Jewish company. Doesn't help. If the Wall Street Journal has once a week an article about Neuberger's all-American products, and then it doesn't help. So it has to be that the Jewish connection is not known, that is presented, and then I don't have to stop my salesman from my non-Jewish salesman selling in Shabbos. My Jewish salesman, different parasha. That could be a little bit different, because that could be from a marshal, a Macy's, so we'll discuss it if you want. Good, question.
I don't understand how stakeholders versus per hour employees.
Good.
How does that circumvent?
Good, I could have planted the question. Okay, so now let's discuss this Nakuda. We've been dancing around this Nakuda. That we said, if he's a stakeholder, if he works in Kablonis, then it's a Daita Nafshoi. If I pay him per hour, then it's not a Daita Nafshoi. So, what's your name, first name?
Shmuley.
So Shmuley has said, is that really true? Is that really correct? When a non-Jew gets paid per hour, he's working because he gets paid per hour. He's not working because he wants to do me a favor and run my store. He's working because he wants to get paid. Everybody wants to get paid. So what's the distinction between, how do we understand the distinction which Chazal drew when they said, if it's a Schir Yom Oser Medina, if it's Kamlonos, then it's really Mutter, but you have to go to Marasayin. So that question is raised by the Lechem Mishnah, by the Magen Mishnah. by the Magid Mishnah. And there's several Mahalchim that the Magid Mishnah develops, and it's also raised by the Kolba. But I'd like to analyze that through one more din. And that's the din in Reish Mem Dalid. Reish Mem Hey. Seem Dalid. I'll tell you why. We'll come back to this in a moment. In Reish Mem Hey Seem Dalid, Mechaber quotes a Rambam. Yochel Yisrael Litein Le'ena Yehudi Mois Lis Asek Bem. A Jew can give a non-Jew funds Lis Asek Bem to invest, to work with them. The Afal Pi She'ena Yehudi Mnosei V'nosei Mem Shabbos, even though the non-Jew is going to do, is going to invest them, is going to work with them on Shabbos. Cholek imoy kol aschar b'shava, and after Shabbos they can split the profit. Mutter b'bnei she'ein melocha zu mutelis al Yisrael lasosa she'nomar she'ein yosef shlichusoi v'chein ena esek nikar mi mihu. So I give money to a non-Jew. Invested. What in modern language is called buying shares. Right? I give my money to a non-Jewish company. And the non-Jewish company now invests. Maybe it's a mutual fund. Maybe it could be I'm buying shares in a chain store. So I'm giving them money. They're no same and no same. I'm going to get, I may get some schar. Let's take it simple, then we'll go to the share session, right? So in that case, because I'm giving them the money and they're working with my money, even though I know they're doing it on Shabbos, mutter. Why is it mutter? That was what the Rambam said. It's mutter. So the Magid Mishnah says that it's mutter because ein melacha zu mutelas al Yisrael lasosa shenomar she'ein yirosa shlichusai. Because he says when the non-Jew does his mas umatan, I didn't commission him to do that mas umatan. I said I want a certain revenue back, a certain profit back. I didn't tell him that I want him to go into the store and I want him to sell this property. I'm detached from it. I didn't tell him how to use the money. I didn't direct him. So I can't say he's doing my shlichus. If I put a non-Jew in a store, he knows, I'm telling him what to do. I'm telling him to stand by the counter and tell him to keep a record of the stock, to move the stock from back to front. I'm telling him to answer phone calls. So once I have a person in the store, he's doing my shlichus. I have a practice. So the guy in the practice is, again, he's answering phones, she's answering phones, whatever they're doing. That's shlichus. That's very clear that they're doing what I want them to do. However, when I give my money to a mutual fund, I say to him, what's the percentage we're talking about? Right? I don't tell him. Even if I tell him, even he says it's pharmaceuticals. Right? So I don't think in that case, I'm not telling him which stocks to buy when. Right? Or I give my money, a person says I have an enterprise, what's it called, a venture, it's a venture capital, I give my money to a guy who's opening kind of business, and it's going to be open in Shabbos. So there's no point. So why is this mutter? Because he's not doing my shlichus, and it's totally detached. No one sees that it's coming from me. That's the interpretation of the Magid Mishnah. The Kolboy says that the reason why it's mutter is because it's like I'm giving him my kelim to work with. I can give a guy kelim to work with, so I'm giving my money to work with. So Minchas Yitzchak, Yitzchak Weiss says, then this is based on this, where we can allow Jews to invest in non-Jewish enterprises, even though those non-Jewish enterprises are open in Shabbos. There are different ways of analyzing it. So the Minchas Yitzchak says, because that's what I'm doing, I am giving my money to a non-Jew, and I'm totally detached from what's going on. No one can say that because I gave money to a non-Jew, so therefore I'm a mishaleh, they're doing my shlichus. The Minchas Yitzchak goes on to say, in addition, that I'm not I'm also a partner with other non-Jews. So and no one there comes to work because because no one feels they're beholden to me. They're being hired by me. All right. Now this highlights when the Magid Mishnah develops this, he's saying, well, what is the essential difference between a Schir Yoim and a Kabbalah? In other words, when he explains this din, to explain why is it that even though I'm an investor, and even though I give my money to a goy, and he is working for me, he's investing my money, so why is that mutter? So the answer is because there's no shlichus over here. So Magid Mishnah says that is essentially the distinction between a schir yom and a kavlan. It's a schir yom, even though the goy is working because he's working for his wages. But a schir yom means I'm telling him what to do hour by hour. I'm telling him what he has to accomplish. And the goy is responding to my instructions. A kablon, the goy gets a job to do, he has to fix the car. He's now self-driven to try to figure out how to fix the car. So in the event that that's one way of looking at it. Line of command. Who is the goy responding to? If the goy is there, is responding to, even though the motivation for being there is very, very similar, to get paid. But in one case, he's getting paid, but his thinking is, I'm carrying out what the Jew wants me to do. In the other case, he's saying, I have a goal to reach, I have to get this car running. So those are the two, that's one difference. The Magid Mishnah then says another difference, and that is that when it comes to a kablan, the goy has some interest in the work itself. When he gets paid per hour, he has no interest in the work itself. So taking this example, the goy has an interest in fixing the car. When he ends up fixing the car, I fix the car. There's a gear kapov, right? When he finishes, when he sells the product on commission, his sale, right? The guy who runs the store and he's there hour by hour by hour, he doesn't, at the end of the day, he doesn't say, he doesn't feel, is anything there but which he can say, this is my work. For an hour, I put in 6 hours, put in 7 hours. I didn't have to be done. I was in the office. I was answering the phone. At the end of the day, he doesn't say, "Wow, I did." There's nothing he can point to. However, when it comes to kablan, he can say, "I accomplished." So that's where the Adat Nafshoi comes in. In other words, what the Magid Mishnah is pointing out, and this becomes very important in halacha, is that the distinction of Schir Yom and Kablan is not simply the way they're getting paid. It's that the Schir Yom and the Kablan identify two different kinds of, call it, environments. One is where Shlichus is readily visible, and the other is where Shlichus is not readily visible. And that's the way that the Chaim Sanz is a similar idea. The essential issue is not how they're getting paid. If a kavlan will often get paid per hour, right? In other words, the plumber, he's a kavlan. I give him a job, you have to fix it, right? He charges me a certain amount of money for the hardware, and then he charges me per hour. So why isn't he schir yom? So the answer is because the environment is a kavlan environment. So it's not exactly the way they're getting paid. It's the whether you look at it, whether the goy sees himself as doing a shlichus, or whether he sees himself as doing a da'at nafshoy. And what the Magen Mishnah is pointing out is that this chiryom kablan difference is just a simon of what's really happening. And therefore, coming back to the situation of, let's say, being a shareholder, so when you're a shareholder, it's clear that there's no shlichus on here. Next question comes up that is raised by Rav Moshe, it was raised to Rav Moshe, what happens if a Jew is the major shareholder in a company? So there is still a there still is a non-Jewish presence shutif, but the fact that I am a major shareholder, does that mean that the that I have to shut this business down over Shabbos? So I'm involved in some similar situation where a Jew has over the course of time has bought more and more of a certain very large company, Jewish family, and while they also became more prominent shareholders and became more frum as it's happening. Not a good combination, right? so they find themselves both being they don't own a role, but they own a controlling share in the business and being more concerned with Shmir Shabbos at the same time. So if they would have been more concerned with Shmir Shabbos when they were not major shareholders, then he would have been able to construct, as we mentioned last week, construct a way of them perhaps not becoming major shareholders without becoming a shutif in the way that Allah allows you to be a shutif. I thought that this is not an issue, because Rav Moshe has a situation where there's a Jew who owns a major part of the shares, and Rav Moshe writes that according that there still is no element of shlichus. He says following the approach of the Magid Mishnah. He says any goy who's working there is not working in response to this major shareholder. This major shareholder is not involved in running the company. Rav Moshe writes, if you're involved in running the company, if you're on the floor, if you're that guy who's hiring the various managers, all right, so then you have a problem of shlichus, because you're now a major owner and people are responding to you. And they're probably getting schiria anyways, but they're not getting paid b'teres kabbalas. They may get bonus and stuff like that b'teres kabbalas. So then that's a concern. But if you are a shareholder and you've invested, but you have other non-Jews running the company, so there's no Jew non-Jew there who thinks he's working for the major shareholder. They all see themselves working for the local manager. Even the manager is working for a. For a CEO who's not Jewish.
But in terms of corporate structure,
yeah.
I shouldn't have jumped in because I'm unfortunately this last week and late today, so I apologize for that, but I have a little understanding of these matters, and in terms of corporate structure, even if you have a non-majority shareholder, let's take a widely held corporation where you're holding a significant control minority position, you ultimately probably, and that's certainly a majority shareholder, more than 50%, you control the board of directors, okay, because you elect the board of directors, and everyone else is effectively hired by the board of directors. The president, all the officers are there at the behest of the board of directors, who vote on the approval of the senior officers, and then the senior officers hire all the other employees. So effectively, it comes back to who's controlling the corporation through the directors, which in a widely held corporation could be someone who has a 15% block and everything else is widely held.
Right, so that's what I was pointing out, that I thought this is not a problem based on Rav Moshe's tshuva. However, when I discussed this with three poskim, so they argued what you argued, and they said it does require some kind of, it is an issue which has to be seen, has to be dealt with. And I thought that, I would argue with what you're saying, because I still think that practically speaking, anybody who's coming in on Shabbos sees himself at most in a corporate structure, at the very, very most, then they are doing the bidding of the CFO or the CEO, at most. I don't think that anybody who works there sees himself as responding to the board of directors.
Indirectly through the CEO, I mean, indirectly we are at the narrative.
Indirectly, for sure, but right. but no one sees himself. I'd be very surprised if you go into a large company.
No, I know. You're right. They, the boss is the president.
Right.
Is only there by virtue of it being appointed by the director.
Right. So
the
hold on that comment. So that's what I thought, that since there is a shutvus of a non-Jew already, and following the argument of the Magid Mishnah, and the way he understands this sif and the way Rav Moshe interprets the sif, and I would add on that the new chief rabbi of David Yosef, who's writing this voluminous svar called Halacha Brura, so he has two volumes on Amir LeNachri. So there he argues with Rav Moshe, and he accepts Rav Moshe, but he argues further. He says that, and those who hold, like the Beis Meir, like I said initially, that the Rambam, when he says that the Issur of Mila Nachri is that we won't, that it might lead to a Jew working, so he says that we explained last week that that is interpreted in several ways. One way it's interpreted that it's just the Sivas Atakana, but the Ofen Atakana was Shlichus. But he said, even if you'll say the other approach, then that is a Takana itself, that it might lead a Jew to work. So he says, in this situation where a Jew is not this major shareholder is not involved in not in the day to day running, not involved in the month to month running, so there's no chance that he would be involved in that he would get drawn into the Malach and Shabbos. So he thought again that one could strengthen Rav Moshe's view, and but it added a big however. And however is that Halach Lamaisa, so I would not be samech on myself. And I'm surprised by it, but when I brought this to, again, as I said before, three poskims, they also took your approach that it is a Jewish company, and because of the corporate structure, one of the poskim actually argued exactly what you were saying, because of the nature of corporate structure, everybody feels beholden to the major shareholder, and therefore it should be seen and should as a merely nothing problem. And then one of the poskim said what he argued last week, and he yos that there is this position, which I thought is not a position which we bring into halachic discussion, that a merely nothing could be a deraisa. So he said that that's another reason to be more concerned in this case. More concerned, some poskim said, well, yeah, it's a problem. He said, divest himself. And one of the poskim they brought it to is trying to figure out if there is a way that there can be a form of realigning the shutfas over here. In other words, just to do a simple Shabbos Shtar Mechira, it's true that many postmen would go along and say, what do you get, why you get worked up about it, do a Shabbos Shtar Mechira, and finished. And the truth is, in this particular case, if I would, in Emtzeli Chover, if I'd find the Dolia Poskim, who would say that Rav Moshe applies over here, then mitzad ochum, we could do a Shabbos Shtar Mechira. However, this particular company, once you have a public company, so it raises the question of whether a Shabbos Shtar Mechira has any impact altogether, because you can't simply, if you're a public company, you just can't sell a company. One person cannot sell it for a day. It's totally invalid in terms of any kind of Mechira. And this is also a regulated company. So in other words, it's a kind of business where there are severe government regulations. So then you certainly can't, certainly meaningless to take a bill from the front desk and say, you own the company for a day. So that's why it has to be worked in a different approach if the premise is accurate. But again, that's what I'm pointing out. That what you pointed out seems to my recent experiences that for some reason this corporate structure would not, the Poskim will hold that it is not subject to Rav Moshe's approach about shareholders and Tzorchim. We're going to have to still figure this out and bring it to your attention so that these questions come up. We have to bring it to Ilya Poskim. Yeah,
there should be no distinction between private and public companies.
Sorry?
From a halakhic point of view, there should be no distinction between private and public companies, so that's a meaningless distinction. The distinctions have to be on the basis of the Jews' ownership versus all others, all non-Jewish ownership.
Right. So that's, what you're saying is...
private is just a corporate security thing as to whether, you know, you're issuing security to the public or you're subject to SEC.
Right, so
the
so
actual issue is really how much Jewish ownership is in there.
Right, so what you're saying is, a very strong discussion amongst the Poskim, and it varies from halacha to halacha. In other words, whether one views a corporate structure to be a partnership with a contract of limited liability, or whether one views the corporate structure as being a different entity, right? Which is probably debated in American law called piercing the corporate veil. So that's a machlokes poskim. It's not what you're saying is not at all as clear as you present. And there are poskim who say that it is partnership to the extent that if a Jewish corporation goes bankrupt, so al pi halacha you would be obligated to pay back loans, right? In other words, even though there are poskim who say corporate structure limited liability, the poskim would say okay, but it still is a chiyuv of paying back money they borrowed to that extent, right? They take your argument to the very end. And there are other poskim who listen when it comes to Chomis and Pesach, is it Jewish ownership or is it corporate ownership? Machlokes the poskim, how you look at it. Is it, or in the case of Ribbis, right? Does limited liability mean corporate structure? There is no what we call Shuvah Aguf, therefore there is not a real loan. Or do we say no? That's limited, like you're saying. There are Jewish partners over there. People are borrowing. But they happen to have a deal when they have limited liability in non-Jewish courts. So that's, Rav Moshe takes the approach when it comes to halva, he says it is a new entity, so to speak, and he allows, yeah, and he says it is, there is a no shibud guf in a corporate structure. Rav Moshe's position is very much debated, very hardly debated, and I think that for the purposes of Ribbis, I think many poskim will always Marshall Rav Moshe is an important argument, but will not be semich entirely in Rav Moshe. But that's it's a fascinating discussion.
I've had a few lively discussions with Rabbi Blythe. I'm sure you're aware of his views on this.
He's not respected at all.
Going back on the Aita Nafshim Mishnah, so before we seem to define it as almost a time constraint, that if you give it to him Friday, Erev Shabbos, and you don't have Shabbos, that's the only time you could do it. Magid Mishnah seems to be getting away from that, right? He seems to be saying it's a question of shlichus, and the goy that's not seen, may not be seeing himself as a shliach. Therefore, if I give him a car erev Shabbos, it's okay that he does it in Shabbos. It's not anymore a question of time. It's a question you're saying. According to Magid Mishnah, seems to be a question of schiri yom seems to be a shliach directly, and a mechanic or something. Even though you give him erev Shabbos, he may think, okay, I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it because I like the job. It's not direct shlichus.
So the answer is that the time component is one manifestation or one example of the distinction between a schir yom and a kavla. In other words, the big idea is shlichus, right? Now, when the non-Jew is fixing my car on Shabbos, so the shlichus can come from one of two sources, either because I'm paying him per hour, that would create shlichus. Kablonos would mean there's no shlichus, or the shlichus can be created because I want him to do it davka today because I need it Motzei Shabbos. So it's a, in other words, the time constraint is a
creates a shlichus.
Isn't it? Exactly.
Even if it's otherwise
exactly. Right. Exactly. And the point is, when the guy is working, what's going on in his mind? So if he's working on Shabbos, and he's working Shabbos because I need Matzoi Shabbos, that's enough to create this Shlichus idea. Even though he's saying, I want to finish the... And that's true even if, even by Risus. Let's say if a goy is a sharecropper, but I say, I want you to work in Shabbos. So then, even though he certainly gets a very significant part of the profit, but if I ask him to do it, so then that's, then that has created Shlichus and Zoser. Shabbos Shtar Mechira. One of the important parts of a Shabbos Shtar Mechira is that every employee has to know that I will not call them on the rug if they don't come on a Shabbos. Right? In other words, if that's part of the deal, even a Shabbos Shtar Mechira, or let's say when it's entirely, when everybody accepts it, a Shutzfus, Jew and non-Jew owner partnership. So when I go into the partnership with a non-Jew, I have to make sure that part of the understanding is that I tell the non-Jew, you, it's Shabbos, you get all the, Shabbos is your, right? I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So the employees have to know, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, they will be called in the rug by, at least Shabbos. Thursday, Friday, maybe I'll cover for them. But in Shabbos, I'm not going to take him to task. He doesn't come in Shabbos Yom. Good. Anything else in this area? Okay. So then, now let's move on to what are the... go ahead.
It was a great question.
Sure.
How would you categorize a non-Jew who works for a shul on Shabbat? If he's contracted through the shul versus if he works by the hour?
In other words, he's the landscaper.
Yes, but he also works on Shabbat, doing
and it turns on the
food,
light,
etc.
So that's all mechuber. So then, the general principle is that he cannot work for the shul and Shabbos. I mean, he can't do malachas for the shul and Shabbos. That's number one.
Okay.
All right. Can he sweep? He can sweep. Can he set up the tables? Yeah. Right. Now, can he start washing the floors? The answer is no. He can't wash the floors. On the other hand, but he can still work at that nafshoi. In other words, we can still say we need the building to look good by Sunday, Monday. They don't tell him you have to wash the floors. He decides that he wants to go out Matzoi Shabbos. And if he wants to wash the floors in Shabbos, so I think that we would let it go.
And could he hire his friends to work per hour basis on Shabbos?
That's a Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says that would not be allowed. Because ultimately it would be a Schir Yom. It's a good kasha. There might be those who argue, I'm not sure.
Can they say to them, what to the Shabbos non-Jewish help in the shul, someone missed us.
Oh, we'll discuss that. We'll get to that.
It's way too hot.
Then we'll get to it. Yeah. So there's another din that we'll get to, and that is a mir l'nachri l'tzorche mitzvah for a tzibur. So that's a much debated machlokes, which we'll get to as well. Okay, I just wanted to build it up where this is coming from, but that's one of the where the remnants, it's even so let's go Kaseda, only a few minutes left. So let's do a daitid and avshoi. But the heterim that we have to discuss, when is a mir l'nachri, when did Chazal give us leniencies in a mir l'nachri? So we have, one is, if the major one is a daitid and avshoi, if I'm able to have the goy react to my situation without me commissioning him. If I commission him with derech remez, that's still called an amila nachri. If I get him to do my work with derech sipur, then that is mutter. In other words, if I tell him, if I make a code up with him, and I say, if on Shabbos I tell you it's very hot in the room, and that means that's called the derech remez, that's aser. Right? If I tell the person that when I walk into the door, so then you have to, then when I come, you should do a certain malacha de raisa, that's derech remez. Right? On the other hand, if I am able to tell the guy what you were describing before, and that is that I can't believe that I forgot to turn my stove off on Shabbos, and it's Sabbath, and I can't, it's going to be difficult for me to function without having light on Shabbos. That's a Sipur Dvarim Balmo. So that's where you move from Remez to Sipur. Now what's the difference between Remez and Sipur? That's a Nafsho. If Remez means he's responding to me, but I didn't tell him directly. All right, so maybe it might not be a Davar Dover, but it's still Shlichus. But on the other hand, if it's a Sipur Dvarim Balmo, I tell him my situation, and he picks up in my situation, and he says, "All right, that he's going to try to help me out, right?" So then, if I tell the person, you know, it's one of my tough things. You're coming to the building. One of the challenges I have on Shabbos is I have to muck up the stairs, right? And he then helps me up. He said, "You know what? I'll get the elevator for you." So that would not be a remiss if every single Shabbos they tell him, by the way, when I tell you it's, I have trouble going the stairs, that means that's called a remez, right? So that's awesome. But if it's now one of the interesting discussions that you have amongst the poskim is if I go to my goyish neighbor's door and I knock on the door and I tell him, you should know it is dark in my house. I don't do this on a Sunday, Monday, Friday, but on Shabbos, oh. So then the question is that a secret verb alma or is that a remez? The fact that I'm knocking on his door and telling him my story, so that become a does that change? Does that make it into a no longer a sibur dvarim ba'alma? So the machlokes of Chaim Kanievsky, and I think Rav Moshe, Chaim Kanievsky held that once I knock on his door, so then I'm it's no longer, and I don't do this any other time. So that's already called a Rem is not a secret of the Alma. And that's Nissen Karelis has the same approach. But apparently, it's quoted B'Shem Rav Moshe by Simcha Bunim Cohen that even if I call a goy and I knock on his door, so that's still called a Daitid Nafshoy. Right, so that's the Chor has to do something with exactly how we define a Daita Nafshoi. It's a Daita Nafshoi that the Goy is responding. Is a Daita Nafshoi, does that mean that it's not my Shlichus anymore? So then if I knock on his door, it's hard to imagine that. But if a Daita Nafshoi means that I'm not, there's no direct instruction, so then that's what Rav Moshe apparently is saying, that it still satisfies the heter of a Daita Nafshoi as long as there's no clear instruction, as long as it's distanced enough. But that's an interesting machlokes. It's again, Sarah Alice and Shulchan Malachim, what to do in that kind of situation. Okay, we'll continue next week with other situations where we're making in the middle of the night. There could be differences also with the Raisa and the Rabbanon. Okay, that we'll discuss next week. Yeah.
What if you do Sipur not Remez? But
yeah.
This Shabbos guy, it's not his first run around the block. He knows what you're doing.
I think it flips into a Remez. I think.
It would be Remez.
I think so.
Thank you so much.
I think so.